You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome to the AME Radio Show, the show that is the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. I'm your host, Jason Dowd. We have a great show for you guys today, a lot to cover in just a little bit of time, and I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun today because we got some music, we got some entertainers, we got a lot of stuff to put in for you guys, and we're going to be talking about something that completely fascinates me. So I'm very excited to be able to get into what we got going on today and just have some fun. So thank you once again for joining us to talk about art, music, and entertainment. I know you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to be inspired along the way. So before we get into anything that we have coming up today, check out our website when you get a chance. It's www.theamemagazine.com. When you're there, that is the AME Experience, the television, radio, and magazines that you can go check out. They have links to download our special apps for Android and Apple platforms, social media networks, news, everything. Everything's archived up there. Go check it out when you get the chance. We'd love for you to join and visit those outlets as well. Okay, so today we have two very special guests. We have Lulu Lambros coming on. She plays Ellie in Stuck in the Middle on Disney Channel, one of the hit shows on Disney Channel, and she's going to be talking to us about the show, her character, what got her into being an actress, and a little bit about her. And she's a fascinating young lady, and we're excited to talk to her. Then we have a repeat guest coming on, and I love her music. She's so much fun. Her name is Sherry Rowe, and she's going to be talking to us about her brand new single that just dropped called Beach Town. And it's the perfect time for a Beach Town song, right? I mean, it's summertime, it's hot, everybody wants to be at the beach, you know, taking in the rays, surfing, doing all kinds of cool stuff. I love the beach too, so we're going to have a lot of fun talking with them coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, what I'm going to be talking to you about is something that I am extremely fascinated with, and that is the terminology of perception and interpretation. And these have profound impacts for artists everywhere, because no two people will interpret the same thing the same. And the way that you see something, no two people see it the same. Sometimes they do. But for the most part, everybody sees something a little different in it along the way. And then they put their interpretation into what they perceive. And we're going to talk, let me give you a quick little example of this. I'm going to give you a saying, and I want you to see what the first thing that comes to your mind is. That boy is sick. Okay? Now, the slang term for slick is cool, he's awesome, stuff like that. So one person may take what I just said as, man, that boy is cool, he's awesome, you know, he's on top of the world. The other person might then say, ooh, he's got a cold, what has he got, the flu? I don't want to be contagious, I don't know if he's contagious, I don't want to be around him. It's that easy. Same thing interpreted two different ways. Okay, now let's talk about perception, for instance. If you look out up into the night sky, okay, and you see nothing but black and a few stars, okay, some people are going to go, wow, that is completely boring. You know, I don't want to be outside at night. It's cold. I can't see anything. I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea. And then another person will look up at the sky and say, man, look at the heavens. Can you imagine that we're seeing millions and millions and millions of miles and there's no end that we know of? Is there other galaxies out there? And they will then take those and turn them into something that means something to them, whether that be a memory, whether that be a picture, maybe that be a song. I don't know. But there's so many different interpretations of that. So what I'm going to do now is give you a really cool interpretation that is done through music. And I'm going to be playing for you a Beatles song and an Elton John song. They are both identically the same song. I'm going to play them back to back. The first one was in 1967 called Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Beatles. They made it very, 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 very famous. And Elton John did his own spin about it. It's not as popular as the Beatles song, but he puts his own twist on it. So he took the song, he interpreted it, and he put in his own perception and made his own version of it. So listen to both of these, and when I come back, we'll finish it up, and we'll go to our first interview. So just enjoy this, sit back, have some fun.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and monolith skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly, a girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Marshmallow pie. Everyone smarter should trip past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. With looking best time, suddenly someone is far up the turnstile, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
cause people eat marshmallow pie. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers. The grass so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you away. Lining the back, leave your head in the clouds and you're gone.
You see in the sky with doubt. You see in the sky with doubt. You see in the sky with
So that is the beauty of perception. Both people did an amazing version of that song, and they made it their own. And that's what makes art so amazing. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have Lulu Lambros on the line. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Gladdy, the dachshund, the face of Gladdy's Goodies. Are you worried about your pet's health? My parents were too, especially since I developed pancreatitis. They couldn't find any treats I could eat, so they made some. Our natural treats are healthy for all dogs, with and without health issues. We have lots of delicious flavors like chicken, turkey, salmon, sweet potato, beef, and more. With our homemade treats, you won't worry about the contents because they have no chemicals, fillers, or bad ingredients. Go to GladysGoodies.com now to get your fur friend a bag and pick them up some swag while you're there. You'll be glad you did. Remember, we have the treats and swag to make their tails wag. Again, that's GladysGoodies.com. Again, that's GladysGoodies.com.
Hi, I'm Serena Vincent, and you're listening to the A&E Radio Show.
Sometimes it feels like things are out of control, like you're living in a circus. Oh, trying to figure out your way in the world, where you're at is kind of perfect.
So turn it up, turn it up, do your thing, don't stop, let the game begin. Let's jump right in, I want to get stuck with you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us a very special guest. Her name is Lulu Lambros. She played Ellie Peters on the Disney hit television show Stuck in the Middle. And we're going to be talking to her about her career, how she's managing school and so much more while she's pursuing her acting career, things that she loves and so much more. And we're very excited to have her on. So welcome, Lulu, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. So, you know, I love people that go for their passion and go for what they love to do at an early age, and you're doing that just perfectly. So I kind of want to talk to you about how you got started in acting. What was one of the first things that made you become an actress? Was it, did your parents get you into it before you could, like, walk and talk like you were doing commercials when you were a kid, or is this something that kind of happened along the way?
No, it was definitely the opposite. When I was about 3 years old, I was watching TV one day, and I pointed to the TV, and I said, "How do you get in there?" Because I thought maybe the people were inside of the TV. I had no idea, but then my parents explained to me that you need to audition, and you need to get an agent, and I was like, "Well, okay, sign me up for that," but my parents were like, "Okay, hold on, we need to see if you really like this." So until I was about 9, I did community theater, little children's productions in my neighborhood and all that. And then when I was about 9, I was going to an acting school, and they were having a showcase. So I prepared a scene, and that's where I was scouted by a talent agent, and that's how I got my start in this business.
Wow. So you really enjoy it. You probably like entertaining people, I'm sure, right?
Yes, I love it.
What's the best part of it for you?
I started out in theater, so that's all I did.
What's the best part of entertaining people? Is it making them laugh? Is it making them smile? Is it just getting their mind off things for a little bit? What do you love the most about it?
I love making people feel all different kinds of emotions. Like, if the scene is sad, I want them to feel what I'm feeling in the scene. I think it's so fascinating to make people feel super happy, make them laugh, make them cry, just make them feel something and be completely entertained and engrossed in what they're watching. I live for people's reactions and how much they enjoy it.
So I know that being a child actor can be a little tough because you got school to do and you have your job that you got to do. How have you managed to do your schooling? Was it on set? Did you have breaks so you could go to school regularly? How did you manage to keep up with your studies?
Well, up until the end of 7th grade, I went to traditional school, and even though I loved my school and I loved all my friends in that environment, it just got super duper busy with everything. So my parents and I decided that it would be best if I would be homeschooled from now on. So this year I just finished my first year of homeschooling, 8th grade, and it's been so easy to manage, and I just have to get all my work done, and then comes the auditions and the filming and the everything. All kids who are filming on set who are still in school have to do 3 hours, and sometimes when there's not enough time, we bank, so we do like 5 hours one day. And then the next day we maybe only do two or something. So it just, it works out. Homeschooling definitely works out for me.
What's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject in school, hands down, is English. I'm actually following my mom's footsteps. She was an English major in college, so I really love English, too. I love reading. I love learning about new words and just so many stories and learning about the English language. That's definitely my favorite subject.
Are you bilingual in anything? Can you speak other languages?
Oh, my gosh. I wish. I've been taking Spanish. I've been taking Spanish from kindergarten through seventh grade. I did not take it in eighth grade. But I'm pretty good in Spanish. I could maybe carry a very simple conversation, but sadly, I'm not bilingual. I wish, though. I'm getting better, though. I'm definitely learning.
So what's your favorite book? Since you love reading and stuff and you love English, you got to have a favorite book and author.
My favorite book is The Secret Garden. I read it when I was not too little, but I loved that book so much and that story. I should probably reread it soon. And, you know, I don't really have a favorite author because I tend to just read books based on the storyline and the subject, and I just think that there's way too many authors to pick. But The Secret Garden is definitely one of my favorite books. And I also, last summer, I read The Great Gatsby, and I recently just rewatched the movie. And that story is just so fascinating to me, and I learn something new every single time I watch the movie or read that book.
Oh, I love The Great Gatsby, one of my absolute favorites myself. And
oh, yeah.
I think I read it in ninth grade is when I first read it, and I've been addicted to it ever since. But you know what? I've never seen the movie, believe it or not.
I've never seen the original movie, but the movie that I've seen is the one with Leonardo DiCaprio, and such a great movie. I'm in New York right now, and I actually watched that movie on the plane from L.A. going to New York, and I was so sad after I watched that. Oh, my God. The best. I suggest you watch that movie. I've never seen the original one, but my mom tells me it's amazing, so we're probably going to watch that soon.
So what do you do for fun? I mean, I know it's important to do your studies and do your jobs that you love to do, but how do you find time to be with friends, and what do you like to do when you're not doing anything?
When I'm not doing anything work-related, I obviously, like every other kid, I love hanging out with my friends. I have three dogs at home, so I definitely love playing with them. We go on walks. We just have so much fun together. And my dogs love walks. I have one dog named Hannah, and she loves the walks the most. She could walk for miles and miles. Even when I'm tired, she wants to keep going. And my friends, I love to meet them at little places like in L.A., like the Grove and stuff like that. And I love to find a balance between work and friends and a social life and my family and my pet.
So tell me a little bit about Stuck in the Middle. When you first got on this, was this one of your first major signings?
Definitely, definitely. Before Stuck in the Middle, obviously when I was younger, I already said I did theater programs, but in the business, ever since I've been auditioning and stuff like that, I did a couple of national commercials. I did a couple guest stars on Nickelodeon shows, Awesomeness TV, Mutton Stuff, and I did a web series on DreamWorks. Well, I did a bunch of DreamWorks shows, just different web series and different little cool videos and skits. But Stuck in the Middle was definitely the first big role that I landed, that I auditioned for and I booked, and it has been such a blessing to be on that show. Three amazing years with so many amazing people.
What did you like the most about your character, Ellie?
Gosh, there's so much stuff. What I like the most is that I can relate to her so much. I'm an only child. I love my friends. I'd like to say that I'm like a sweet person, but Ellie, she's so much fun. She is just the most lovable, sweet little character, and I love her with all my heart, but I could just relate to her a lot.
You know, that I'm a Disney fanatic. I've been watching Disney since I was a child, and I'm never going to stop. I love Disney. I love the stuff that comes from Disney. And I happen to love Stuck in the Middle. It happens to be one of my favorite shows. And what I like the most about the show...
Oh, my gosh! Yay! I'm so glad you love it.
Oh, I love the show. And, you know, one of the things I love the most about your character and Harley is that you complemented each other so well. You know, where you lacked, she made up, and where she lacked, you made up as friends. And I think that's what made that connection so special on the show.
It was an amazing combination. I love Jenna so much. We're great friends. And it was such a blessing and such an amazing opportunity for me.
Now, I know that they kind of made your character leave a little earlier than the last season here. But you have been making cameo appearances, which is really fun, and I know that the Kinsay is coming up. Are you going to be part of the Kinsay party?
Well, I cannot say. I don't want to give anything away, but Ellie is on the finale episode.
Well, that's good.
I don't want to give away any storylines, but you definitely will be seeing more of Ellie in season 3.
Well, I'm glad, because I think that it's very important to have the end season, you know, with everybody up from the original cast on there. I think it'd be important. Are you sad to see Stuck in the Middle go?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I had, now, we were not surprised by the ending of Stuck in the Middle, because these days on a lot of the children's cable networks, shows like that are only predicted to go 3 seasons. But we were, on the last day, we were all so sad. At the end, when everybody wrapped every person's final scenes, we gave like a little speech and everyone was crying. And it was an amazing day, but it was also a sad day. But I just look back on that experience. Well, I'm not even looking back. It wasn't even that long ago, but I look at that experience and I just think how lucky I am to have been a part of that cast and that amazing show. And just that whole experience was amazing. But yes, we were sad, but we're just so happy that we had such an amazing run.
What's one of the things that you are going to remember the most that happened off camera that touched your life?
Just all the memories and all the giggles and the laughs that I had with the rest of the cast and the crew. Just those memories alone, like eating together, eating lunch together, getting our hair and makeup done together, filming scenes together, school. So many laughs, so many great times. Just the people. The people is what made it amazing. Just that much more amazing. Just all the memories with them.
And what's Jenna Ortega like?
Jenna is so nice. She's so positive. She's so eloquent. She is really an amazing girl. I love her so much. I'm so glad that I got to know her and we got to work together. And she's just she's a really good friend.
Well, that's cool. You guys are friends on set and off set, so that's kind of neat. You have it worked out.
Yes, yes, yes. I love Jenna so much.
So what's in store for you now? What are you looking to do with your career now that Stuck in the Middle is over?
Definitely just work as much as possible, because I'm happiest when I'm on set. And for the rest of my career, I just hope to work and get better at my craft and just be the best actor that I can be and learn from the most amazing people.
What was one of the things that you learned from being unstuck in the middle that you can take towards other jobs now? And like maybe how it impacted your profession?
Just from being on set every day when I was filming the episodes, I learned so much about cameras. I learned so much about lines, like how to say the lines, how to hit your mark, how to just do all this technical stuff, but I also just learned how to recreate a scene multiple times when you have to, because you never just do one. We never just do one take of a scene. It always takes multiple tries to, not even just to get it right, just to have enough backup for the editors. So I have just picked up so many skills that I would definitely not have if I never worked on Stuck in the Middle. It is single cam. It is single camera. I'm not sure if you know what that means, mm-hmm. but it's the opposite of multi-camera. It's one single camera, so it's different shots than a multi-cam. But I just learned so many skills and just so much I've taken from that experience, and I'm going to use it and apply it for the rest of my life.
Now, working on Disney, do you still love going to Disney parks and everything like that?
Oh my God, Disneyland! I I have not been to Disney World in a really long time because I don't really go to Florida that much. But Disneyland is truly, actually the happiest place on earth. I went there for my 14th birthday with a couple of my friends. And yes, I love Disney theme parks. And what I love most about them is because all the little fans with Stuck in the Middle come up to me asking for a picture. And that is literally why I do what I do, to make this for the fans, for you guys. And it just warms my heart, and it makes me feel so happy when a little girl or boy comes up to me saying, "I love you on Stuck in the Middle. I love you so much. You're an amazing actress." And I love that so much.
Do you get any perks, like get to skip the lines on anything?
No, I wish. I wish, but I have to wait in line like everybody else.
Well, I guess that's part of the fun of it too, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be Disneyland if you don't wait in the hour-long lines.
You have a thing that you have that you're pretty popular called Musical.ly that you're on. What's that about, and what kind of stuff do you put on there?
Musical.ly is an app basically where you lip-sync to songs. So you pick your favorite song, you pick a 15-second clip of it, and then you record yourself lip-syncing to it, either dancing or doing hand motions or just propping the phone up and just kind of lip-syncing along to it. So it's just fun lip-sync.
So we're almost out of time, so I want to be able to show people a little bit more about you. Do you have any websites or social media platforms you want to promote?
Yes, of course. My Instagram and Twitter account are Lulu Lambros, just put together, L-U-L-U-L-A-M-B-R-O-S. My Facebook is just my name, Lulu Space Lambros. My Musical.ly is also Lulu Lambros. My Snapchat is Lulu Berry Pie. I made that when I created my Snapchat account many years ago, but that's why my username is like that, because that's what my parents used to call me when I was younger, so that's my Snapchat name. And let's see, oh, YouTube is just my name, Lulu Space Lambros.
And before we go, obviously, I want to know if you have anything else in the works that people can be a little excited about, and anything that you can talk about.
I forgot to mention my website is just lulambros.com. And for the things in the works, there's something that there's a possibility of something new that's in the works for me that I cannot talk about yet. I wish, but I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping that it works out.
Well, Lulu, thank you for coming on and being a great guest. I had a lot of fun talking to you. I love Stuck in the Middle, and I loved watching your character grow and develop. And I wish you all the best for stuff that you have coming up in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was so much fun. This is actually my first or phone or radio, however, whatever you want to call it, interview. So I really had a good time.
Well, I'm glad you did. And hopefully we'll be able to get you back on for new stuff that you're doing, too.
Yes, definitely. I'm so glad you love Stuck in the Middle. I'm so glad you love the character Ellie. This was just a great experience. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Lulu, and we are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere. Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop at Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Czars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is @DowStudios, and Instagram is @JasonDow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hey guys, it's Michael Campion. I play Jackson Fuller on Fuller House, and you're listening to AME Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on line with us a special return guest. Her name is Sherry Rowe. She's a country music singer, and she has a brand new single coming out called Beach Town, which sounds really exciting because I love the beach. It's summer. It's probably the best time to drop this single, and we're excited to talk to her. So welcome, Sherry, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, yeah, I had a great time talking with you last time, and we're going to have just as much fun this time, and it looks like you got some new cool stuff out. So first, before we get into anything, again, if anybody didn't hear the last episode or whatever, kind of tell people about you, how you got into music, what you love about music, and why country music.
Oh, man. Well, I grew up here in Arizona. That's where I'm calling from today. We still live out here. We travel quite a bit these days, but grew up here riding horses, camping in the mountains, and so much of, you know, the music that I do is inspired by my life here growing up, and grew up in a musical family. Have always done a lot of camping, a lot of singing with everybody, even, you know, early on in my life, so many living room concerts with my sisters, and, you know, still, even to this day, when we get together for Christmas, there's probably about 25 or 30 of us, and we're always putting on some kind of show and singing for each other and just big, loud, crazy bunch. And my dad always listened to standard, the good old standard legends in country music, Johnny Cash and Waylon and Patsy Cline. So I can remember taking drives and the windows down and just hearing these songs kind of as a, you know, the backdrop growing up. So really landing in country music was kind of a natural thing for me.
You know, you said something about camping, and I'm thinking, first of all, how do you camp in Arizona and survive the heat? But then I was also remembering this picture that was sent over here from the promo pictures of some of the new stuff that you're doing, and you're in front of a Silver Bullet camper. Is that your camper?
Yep. It is, and I wish that one were ours. That was a beautiful Airstream we were able to shoot with for the cover of Beach Town. But camping in Arizona, I mean, there is such a thing as desert camping, and I prefer, actually, if you just go north about an hour, hour and a half, you're in some of the, well, actually, it's the largest ponderosa pine forest in the country. And where we camp, which is actually about 4 hours from the valley here, you're at about 8,000-9,000 feet elevation. And you could be up there in the middle of summer, and it's, you know, 110 down here in the valley, and you're talking maybe 70, 75 for a high up there. So there's a considerable difference. It's and it's beautiful. It's very dry, too, so the temperatures drop. I mean, you'll wake up in the morning, and the dog water bowls have a layer of ice over them. So it gets pretty cold at night, even in the middle of summer.
I've heard that, especially even sometimes in the desert, it can get really cool, too, which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just not having that cloud cover and humidity. There's just a chance for that cool air to kind of dip into the valley here, and it settles in. And yeah, it's very normal to have, you know, 20, 30, even sometimes 40 degree difference between day and night.
Well, you know, it's really cool because, like we were talking before we got on here, and we were talking about the Wild West, and, you know, I was talking about Tombstone, and Arizona really is the Wild West, and that's really where country music, the heart of country music came from, was the pioneers moving out west. And
yeah.
And how it started even just in Nashville and stuff. I think Nashville just kind of fell into it along the way. But some of the original country music was from the people going out west to find gold.
Oh, yeah. And really, even now, I mean, then we have working cowboys, you know, everywhere. You go into the grocery store, I mean, when the guy comes in with his boots and his hat on, I mean, he's been working, you know, bringing in the horses or the cows or the, you know, there's a lot of ranches. And it still really very much has that feel, you know, so mm-hmm. like those wide open plains and the red rock and you know, the dust twisters and rattlesnakes and tumbleweeds and that whole thing. Those are part of our everyday life.
So you find inspiration just by walking out your door in so many ways.
I do. You know, I mean, Arizona gets a bad rap because of the heat, but I'm telling you, I love it here. Those big, you know, big skies and sunsets and very much my songwriting has been always inspired by the outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes that pretty evident with a title called Beach Town. So obviously you're in the desert, so you're not too close to a beach. So what made you come up with the idea for Beach Town?
You know, it's funny. I actually, this is the first single that I've released that I didn't co-write on. So I found this song, and it was written by three amazing writers with Demolition Music out in Nashville. And, I was just drawn to this song. It has such a great feel and such great energy. And, to be honest, I found myself in it right away because being in Arizona, we're only about 5.5-6 hours from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very common to just, you know, we've done turnaround trips where we just, you know, you get up super early in the morning, go down to San Diego, go to, you know, SeaWorld or go up to Disneyland or just literally just go for a day at the beach and, you know, drive back late at night, you know, still with the sand, you know, everywhere. It's like, it's very common to kind of take those quick trips out to Cali. So I feel like the summertime, you know, it's that feeling of being able to just make a quick getaway and get in some vacation time and recoup. And that theme is very common for us Arizonans.
Is that what this song's really kind of about, just dropping everything, going out and hitting the beach just to spend some time with family, friends, or by yourself, if that's the way it may be, but just enjoying that summer tradition, I guess you could say?
Yeah, it really is. I think the strong emotion that I get from the song is just that freedom of, like you said, being able to drop everything. It's like, you know, the song refers to the traffic and, you know, the busyness and the chaos of life, and then getting to a place where you can just float and just let go of everything and kind of just stop and breathe and have fun and be with the people you care about. And I think that's really what it's about. And you could really say that about whatever your destination is. You know, I think the song is more about that feeling of not feeling so trapped in the day to day.
So was there a reason for dropping it in the summertime? Just, I mean, beach, summer, you kind of goes hand in hand, but did you plan it that way or did it just kind of happen?
You know, it kind of just happened that way. We recorded it back when we recorded the last couple singles, Southern Spells and Take That Shot, and we had it, and we knew that, I loved the way it turned out. Jamie over the Ruckus Room did such a great job, and we had top players on it, and I've been playing it, you know, everybody in the band, we played at shows, and everybody's, you know, had a really great response to it, and we didn't know when that time was going to come to release it, and everything just kind of fell together. And we were like, wow, okay, I'm going to be going back into the studio to record here next month for a release in the fall. And we got a holiday release, but we had this kind of window in time where we're like, oh, hey, beach town, and it's summer, and let's just give this song some wings and let it fly. So, yeah, it all just fell together perfectly.
You know, you told us that this is the first song that you didn't physically write or co-write. So what are the differences between the original version and your version, if any? Or did you just kind of keep it exactly the way it was?
It's pretty true to the way they wrote it. I mean, I think in the production, you know, I got to give credit to Jamie over at Ruckus Room for that again, because he's really great about taking a song and helping it sort of grow up. And I feel like the mix is just real gutsy and polished, and he helps me in the studio really just vocally to, you know, because there's a couple big notes in the song going into the guitar solo and then coming out of the bridge. And he just really helps me, you know, just get in there and get it right. And I think that, you know, having a great producer and engineer and having a great environment means everything, especially when you're singing on something that you didn't write, because you really have to have somebody there to kind of bring that out of you, because it can be at times harder to personally identify with it. So you really have to have a relationship with a song in order to deliver it and give it, you know, the emotion that it needs so that people feel that when they hear it. So between everybody, I think, you know, they did a great job in just helping to pull that out of me.
You know, since it is an original, sometimes artists try to stay away from that because of the fact that it can get complicated with licensing or anything like that. But also, it's a great way to just, you know, bring a different tune and spin to a song that you can kind of make your own as well. What were some of the downfalls to doing something like that? What were some of the positive things that you found remaking somebody else's song?
Well, I think, you know, I think it has, I'm not sure if it's been released as a single before. I mean, it's one of those songs where, you know, and in the past I've been pitched other songs to take and record and, you know, make my own and put on my own project. I didn't write on it, but I don't believe that it's been released by anybody else. So I felt like I had this song here that, cause I don't know, it's like when I write a song, I feel like, wow, this is something that has come together, and they, a song sort of takes on a life of its own as it develops. And, you know, when you hear a great song like that and you can find yourself in it, I was like, if I can find myself in this song, and I'm sure other people can too. So I almost feel like one of the big positives is giving a song a chance, you know, and being able to bring in great players and great production. And, you know, because the writers have messaged me and they really like the way it turned out. And for me, being a songwriter as well, it's like, oh, okay, that makes me feel really good. The songwriters love the way it turned out. And, you know, you're hoping in that moment, I hope it was everything they imagined it could be. And, you know, and in this case, it seems like everyone's real happy with it. And that makes me proud to be able to deliver it. The downside, of course, is, I mean, you know, of course, is not being able to say, hey, I wrote on this, you know, and then to be able to have your heart and soul in those lyrics and everything. But I'm having the opportunity to do that more and more these days, and writing is always going to be something, hopefully, that I have more and more opportunity to do. So I don't know. I can't really say that that's a downside. You know, I feel like if we gave a song a chance.
Well, see, what I like about stuff like that is, you know, you hear it the way that somebody had originally wrote it, but you can take it and make it your own. You can change it up a little bit and maybe give it something that they didn't think about. So I think you can still make it your own, but even though it's not technically your own, you still put yourself inside of it somehow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like that is one of my songs now. You know, I don't feel like it's foreign or like it's a stranger to me. I feel like it's mine. And, you know, we've been doing it at shows for a long time now. And, yeah, I feel like it's a good fit. And the band loves playing it and the crowds have loved it. So, yeah, I sort of have adopted it.
Is this going to be a song that's going to come out on a full-length album or EP in the near future, or is it just going to stay as a single?
We'll see. I mean, we're going, like I said, we're heading into the studio at the end of July, and I've got quite a few songs that are ready to track. So it'll just depend on, you know, what we, you know, if we have enough for a full-length, you know, without Beach Town, or if we want to include it. I guess those kinds of things are decided as everything sort of unfolds and develops, but it'd be great. I mean, I know that we're definitely recording more music than we have in the past coming up here in the summer, so.
Well, that's definitely good. You know, it's always fun to get back in there and try new things, and, you know, then this is the time to do it, because usually when you run or release another album, there are specific times throughout the year to do it. And I think it's either like at the very beginning of the year, like right now, like you're just dropping something here, and then probably more towards, I'm thinking, I don't know, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I'm thinking. Is that about right?
Yeah, it is. You know, there are different philosophies. You know, everybody, you know, it takes a village, definitely takes a whole team of people, and everybody's got their area where they're an expert. And I think, you know, we all come together and we say, okay, we have these songs, and we have this timing over the next year. This is what's happening, you know, whether it be different events, different opportunities for exposure. You know, there's so many different elements that you think about. But I am definitely excited because I have a Christmas song that I wrote with Kerrigan Berry out there in Nashville, and it's very much inspired by Arizona. So if we don't release something before Christmas, I know we'll for sure have that holiday song out.
Well, that's always cool. I love holiday songs. And you know what? There's really nothing better than a Christmas country song. I love country music singers when they do country music, when they do Christmas music, because I don't know, it just to me it seems like it's so down home, and I love that feeling, because that's what Christmas is all about, you know, family homes and that special, I don't know, I just, when Dolly Parton sings like these Christmas songs, there's like nothing better than that to me.
Or, I know, it has all the right feels, like exactly what it needs to be. I know.
And maybe, and you know, even their specials on television, when you watch them, and they're like in a cabin, and they're like, you see the snow outside, and you see all the Christmas decorations, and they're like, that is Christmas, and I could never make my house look like that.
I know, all the cheesy Hallmark Christmas movies, just like on repeat. I know, it's like perfect land.
Well, we got about a minute left, so please tell everybody where they can find your music, where they can find out if you're touring, social media accounts, whatever it may be. I'd love for you to be able to tell them right now.
Oh, man. Well, the new single, Beach Town, is streaming on Spotify and really can be downloaded or streamed anywhere fans are used to listening to their music. So Beach Town is out, of course, Southern Cells and Take That Shot, same thing. SherryRowe.com is sort of like the hub for all the links, but we love, you know, connecting with everybody on social media. And I know it sounds cheesy and social media can sometimes be just like overwhelming, but I really do love connecting with people, you know, even at shows and online. It just, we could create all day long, but if there aren't, you know, fans and people for us to share it with, it really doesn't mean much. So definitely love to connect.
Well, we love to connect you with all of our listeners too. And one of the things that I get the opportunity and I love doing is playing the music that the artists come on here and put out so people can see it and hopefully go check it out and buy it themselves. So we're going to be playing Beach Day right now. And I would love for you to be able to introduce it. So go ahead and introduce the song.
All righty. Hey, everybody. My name is Sherry Rowe and you're listening to my new summer single, Beach Town.
Stars tonight, you know lately they don't shine as bright. In the glow of these city lights, like they once did, like they once did. Yeah, it's crazy, but I'm thinking that maybe there's a reason why lately I've been dreaming of you and I, just leaving these crowded days for a little space. Let's trade these traffic lights for a stretch of boardwalk. Get lost inside a Springsteen song. Shake a little salt and throw a couple down. And it all beats down. Still think about that summer kiss. A little taste of ocean on your lips. Hands from my hips, but we were never letting go. No, oh, oh, oh. My heart was thump thumping, our toes were dug dug, and I knew that we had something in my world needing nothing but a sandy breeze. Baby, let's take 2 weeks and trade these traffic lights for a stretch of boardwalk. Get lost inside.
Fantasy creatures are urban legends. Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Nothing can separate us. Nothing can come between us now. Nothing can take away, break away the power of love.
Hey, this is Jennifer McGill, and you're listening to my first single, Unbreakable. You can get it at jennifermcgill.com.
The dust settles on the ground. I hear you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Darius Norman, the author of the new book entitled Rewriting Financial Rules. Have you wondered and needed advice in terms of repairing and building your credit? Do you need strategies to boost and to see quick results in building your credit? Do you need to learn how to protect yourself against financial predatory companies like debt collectors? Well, look no further. Rewriting Financial Rules is the perfect book to give you the step-by-step process to adjust and make those changes financially.
Hey guys, it's Julie Mae Silverstein from Lydia Unfunked, and you're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome back, everybody. And you know, I love that song. I am the king of wishful thinking. If anybody knows me, I am a perpetual daydreamer. I'm always wishing for things. And it's not always just for me. It's for other people, too. And, you know, it's good to be able to do that, because when you wish for things, sometimes it comes true. So you always got to be careful what you wish for as well. So I hope you guys had a great time today. I had a great time with our guests. You know, they were just so much fun, so much energy. I got to learn a little bit about people that I admire, and I hope that they took their words and exposed you to new things that they're doing and inspired you to do the same thing. That's important. You know, we are our worst enemy sometimes with trying to attain our goals. Sometimes we actually self-sabotage because we're afraid of succeeding. I know that sounds stupid, but it's the truth. So if they can do it, you can do it too. And it doesn't have to be in what they're doing. It could be whatever you want to do. And I encourage anybody that listens to the show to go ahead and do just that. And you know what? Hard work pays off. And you know why I say that? Because I have some really exciting news. I have been invited to go to the red carpet event, which is a worldwide premiere for the brand new movie, The Little Mermaid. It's the live action one. And it's going to be right here in Tampa. I get to go and be with people that I admire. I get to go with friends that I've made along the way with this show. And they invited me because I've done a good job. And, you know, that means a lot to me. And I get the opportunity to not only interview some of the stars from this movie, but also just be around people that I've never met before, but I've seen them on the silver screen, I've seen them on television, and I've admired them, and I want to be like that someday. Not necessarily politically, not necessarily in a personal life, but in a professional realm. I love that. So this is going to be a lot of fun. It's my first ever walking the red carpet. I've never done this before. I'm so excited. I'm so, I haven't come down from that cloud yet. And I always wish that someday, just someday, this would happen, and I get the opportunity to go walk the red carpet, and I get to do that. Now, in this case, it's not a red carpet, it's a blue carpet, because it's going to be a water theme, you know? It's a mermaid. So, obviously, water is the theme. So, anyways, I am so excited to be able to do this and spend some time and meeting new people that I've only heard on the phone or through internet, and I get to meet them in person and make new friendships, and that's very important to me. So that will be August 7th and 8th, and we're going to have some new interviews along the way, because we're going to be interviewing the people that were in this movie. So keep checking that out. And guys, again, thank you for making the AME radio so successful along the way. I couldn't do it without you tuning in each and every week, and I also couldn't do it without your participation to be a guest. So I love you guys very, very much. Okay, now this is the last show I have for this week. We're going to be on again next week. And to find out where we are at, you can go to amfm247.com and listen to us there on the internet or on their 11 AM FM stations across the United States every Friday at 7 AM and every Saturday at 5 PM. WKLAP every Friday at 12 PM and every Saturday at 7 PM. Two different guests per show. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on RadioLove.com every Saturday at 9 PM. We're on PhoenixBroadcasting.com and so much more. So if you want to find it out, go to the website. That's all I got for you guys this week. Tune in next week. We got more. Have a safe weekend. Keep those creative juices flowing.
That's the end?
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.